And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Did you know Des Moines has less affordable housing available than Omaha, Nebraska, or even Brooklyn, New York? That's according to statistics cited in a new Reader's Watchdog column from the Des Moines Register, showing little available housing, and it may be offering some questionable living conditions. Lee Rude joins us, first of all, Reader's Watchdog columnist at the Des Moines Register. She's been a reporter and editor at the Register for 20 years, and back in 2013, she created this Reader's Watchdog to help Iowans find answers and seek accountability from government, business, and nonprofits. Lee is in our Des Moines studio. Hi, Lee.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about you're covering apartment complexes. Problems run much deeper than one woman's illness. So, tell us about how you started covering affordable housing in recent weeks. You started getting calls.
Yeah, I mean, I've been covering affordable housing in Des Moines for a long time, but this summer in July and August, I got four calls kind of in short order about this place called Summer Place Apartments. At least one of the people who called me was actually picketing the apartment building, carrying a sign that said, stay away. But before I could get to him, I waited like one more week, and then I got a call from a woman who said that she was getting ill from an apartment next door to hers. That had sustained some serious water damage weeks before and had not been attended to. And so there was like a furry black mold growing in the bathroom adjacent to her apartment. She wanted me to come out and have a look.
Mm-hmm. And you went out and had a look. And what was your impression? Tell us what you saw.
Well, I saw a very run-down apartment complex of three different buildings. You know, the parking lot had really deep potholes. The sign out front had graffiti all over it. Inside, you had really dirty sort of hallway spaces with, you know, shaky guardrails. I met one of the people who lived there, the guy who sustained the damage in his apartment. He opened the door and showed me, you know, a place with no ceiling anymore. There was a smell, there was severe damage to the floor, there was, you could see that furry black mold. It was like unlike any mold I've ever seen before. It looked like a beard in the bathroom.
People living in these places.
Yeah, well, this guy had been moved into a new apartment, but then he proceeded to tell me just generally about the general maintenance there. And there had been other complaints to the city of Des Moines prior to me going that summer about general maintenance and bugs and things like that.
Mm-hmm. So this is not an outlier in Des Moines. This is a part of a problem with what is being called affordable housing.
Yeah. So we have a very high number of older sort of housing stock and apartment complexes that aren't really being taken care of in Des Moines. I'd say affordable, safe housing is one of the number one things people come to me with the Watchdog column. I don't write about things unless I get a number of complaints. And things like mold, unsafe living conditions, slumlord situations, those are all very common complaints.
Right. And at the outset, I said where Des Moines stood in terms of affordable housing compared to Omaha, Nebraska, or Brooklyn, New York. Expand on that, because you were citing the Urban Institute in that statistic. Talk about that.
Yeah, so they came out and with a study that said that per capita we have more of an affordable housing problem than Brooklyn or Omaha and several other places around the country. But you know, we have studies locally that show that 44% of the people in Polk County or in eastern Dallas County are rent, what they call rent burdened. 63% of those people, the lowest income people in our area, live in Des Moines. And while we have a glut of higher end apartments available now because of all the construction in downtown Des Moines and the East Village, we have a severe shortage for the people who are, you know, working in restaurants and bars and and providing the services at, you know, $10 to $13 an hour.
For those who are lucky enough not to be in that situation, can you tell us any more about what is the lifestyle, the existence of someone who is put in this category of rent burdened? Is it most of their income, all of their income goes towards some sort of shelter?
So if you're rent burdened, it means that you're spending more than 30% of your income on your housing. So in the case of Summer Place, I mean, some of these people are just being thrown from place to place to place, barely getting by, just above homelessness. But really, a lot of these people are working, you know, full-time jobs, sometimes two jobs, and still can't make enough money to pay the growing rents in places like Sherman Hill and Woodland Heights, and that are becoming sort of more gentrified and you know, just higher price rent.
How is this allowed to happen when you kind of peel back how a city, a thriving community, metropolis like Des Moines has this sort of underside to it? What is the city's role? There are obviously slumlords involved, right?
Yeah. So another thing I've written quite a bit about, last summer I walked most of Des Moines neighborhoods in a quest to sort of experience the city's growth. You know, we're the fastest growing metro in the Midwest. And I affordable housing was a really big deal to a lot of people I interviewed along the way. The Des Moines City Council, many members of, feel like Des Moines has more than its share of low-income housing, and that the surrounding suburbs really need to do more to build affordable housing because that's where people are working more and more. But it promises to become a very real issue for us because it's going to stunt our economic growth if we don't have places for workers to live affordable.
And you mentioned that, that awful picture of black mold in the one of the places you mentioned. Describe how people can get sick from that. People are getting sick from that. They can hardly inhabit the places they sleep.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very, very real deal. Black mold is serious. It can cause all sorts of respiratory issues. It can be fatal to people with very poor health. I did a series about people living in aged mobile home parks, and I interviewed a guy who was pretty near death as a result of mold in his place. So mold is a serious issue, but also just, you know, some of these places, there was a slumlord I wrote about last year, Gary Oath, who owns more property, rental property in poor condition or below normal condition than any other landlord in Des Moines. And many of his houses were just in really lousy shape.
So many of our listeners would be saying, you've got a problem with black mold. You've got another problem. Something needs repair. You call the landlord. What is the experience of someone in this sort of situation calling the landlord, complaining about their situation?
They'll just evict you.
Evict you. That's, it's as simple as that. Say, yeah. If you don't like it, leave.
They'll find a reason, you know, to evict you. And you know, there are certain protections for renters under Iowa's Landlord-Tenant Act, but in fact, you see very high turnover in this kind of housing. Evictions are very common. You know, if you complain about something not being fixed, then the landlord or the property manager will pull something out of their back pocket. You use drugs, you violated the lease, and out you go.
Yeah, and these areas are well known to the police, right?
Yes, very
because
much
there,
so.
There is crime rampant here.
In Summer Place, for example, I did what I would do on any story like it, and I asked police for all the incident reports in the last year, and then I asked for more expansive data. And there were more than 260 responses to those three buildings just from last August to this August.
Mm-hmm. If you just joined us, Lee Root is with me, Reader's Watchdog columnist at the Des Moines Register, looking to all kinds of community issues for 20 years at the Register, and dealing with affordable housing as a theme over many of those years, and most recently penning a recent column on the lack of affordable housing in the Des Moines area and also the condition of affordable housing in the area. Also joining us now, Eric Burmeister is with us. He's the executive director of the Polk County Housing Trust Fund, along with Lauren Johnson, who is policy and communications coordinator for that fund. Eric and Lauren, welcome to the program.
Thank you, and thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Before we talk specifically about the problems that Lee outlines in her writing there, tell us a little bit about your trust fund, your nonprofit organization, and its mission.
Sure. We really do three things at the trust fund. We have folks that do a lot of research and planning work, understanding what the issues are regarding the inventory of affordable homes in the area. We do a lot of education and advocacy work with folks and particularly cities as to what kinds of things we can do to address those concerns. And then finally, we have access to state and county funding that we can use to help not only preserve existing units of affordable housing, but also encourage developments of new units.
Mm-hmm. Lauren, can you tell me how widespread, how typical are the situations that Lee described in her column?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is affecting so many Iowans across Polk County. 40% of people, households in Polk County, make less than 80% of area median income. So that's about $45,000 a year. This is affecting them disproportionately, and especially those in the lower income brackets. So about 85-86% of renters that are making less than $15,000 a year are rent burdened, and about 80% of renters that are making $15,000 to $30,000 a year are rent burdened. So this is affecting about 71,550 households in Polk County.
So these are no small numbers.
Not at all.
And how does this compare with other metro areas and of similar size, of Polk County, Des Moines area, with other areas? Do you have any data on that?
Yes. Yeah, so in Polk County, renters would have to make about $16, $17 an hour to afford a two-bedroom apartment. Throughout the rest of Iowa, throughout the rest of the state, they would have to make $15 an hour. So it is less affordable in Polk County than in the rest of the state of Iowa.
Eric, back to you. Who or what is to blame for these numbers of people living in, well, the lack of affordable housing and the condition of some of it?
Well, a lot of factors have come together to create a perfect storm. We're really no different than many other fast-growing metropolitan areas. We're really experiencing the same problems as Minneapolis, San Francisco, other higher, much higher cost metros in the country. The fact is that we are growing rapidly. The demand for housing is increasing rapidly. We are not producing enough new inventory of homes. And finally, wages here, as in many places, have been stagnant. So as prices go up, wages have not been increasing at the same rate. So we are putting people in a vice. We're squeezing them to pay more and more of what they make every month for their homes.
Mm-hmm. So where's the hope here? Where's a way out of this, a solution?
Well, the solutions frankly are multiple. There's no one silver bullet, or we would have figured that out by this time. But I will tell you that we need to begin to look for more resources. And that means that folks are going to have to step up, whether it is government or whether it is the philanthropic sector or, frankly, whether it's the business sector. The business community is causing much of the growth in population based upon a demand for a new workforce. Mm-hmm. And in order to make sure that that workforce is safely and properly housed, the business community has, and that's not to say that they don't, but they haven't been traditionally thought of as a part of the solution to the problem. Mm-hmm. And I think that going forward, they're going to be seen as more of that.
Right. Slumlords are a certain type of business that,
well,
I mean, I don't know how much you busy yourself or get involved with people who would be called slumlords, but that indicates something is broken, right, Lauren, Eric? Something is broken when a slumlord is out there working with substandard housing, operating it, generating a lot of income, I assume.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that's always looked at when you talk about substandard housing is what's the role of government in policing that, mm-hmm. and what is our rental code look like. Currently, what should it look like? But in the case of Des Moines in particular, what percentage of city resources are we going to put towards enforcement? And if you talk to Scott Sanders, the city manager for the city of Des Moines, he will be the first to admit that code enforcement has taken disproportionate cuts over the years as the city of Des Moines has sought to balance its budget. Mm-hmm.
You would think also, you know, all cities want to be attractive. And Lee, back to you, all cities is the big thing to attract people, not only for a job, but for a quality of life. And this is a blight on the area, isn't it?
It is, because, you know, in other cities like Minneapolis, the Twin Cities,
when you don't have affordable housing for your workers, for your new workers, you can't recruit, you know, what you need. And so it's kind of a drag on the economy. We do enjoy a very high level of quality of life here, but not for everyone. Mm-hmm. And that's going to become a growing problem, I think, for us, especially, you know, people are saying we're going to, in the Des Moines Metro, get to about 1 million people in a generation. So it's something we really need to be thinking about.
Lee, what's been the reaction to this latest article? And I know you've been covering affordable housing for many years.
You know, it's the same as always. You know, you write an article like this, and then you hear from many, many other people who are in similar situations. I try to write about a mix of issues, but I will definitely be going back to this in the next, you know, few months. So,
mm-hmm. Eric and Lauren of the Polk County Housing Trust Fund, what final thoughts do you want to leave us with?
Well, I think that we need to move from the place, I think, that the trust fund and many of us have been over the last several years, which is to highlight the problem and talk about the data and talk about the numbers. And we need now to move to talking about solutions. I think the community as a whole understands that there is a problem. Mm-hmm. And I think what they're hungry for, and frankly, what it's going to be up to some of us to provide, are some realistic suggestions for solutions that can address this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and as we think about expanding our workforce in Des Moines and the greater metro area, we just all need to keep in mind that every job needs a place to sleep at night.
Right, and people can't show up for work on time, can't be reliable and good at their work when they go back to an apartment, say, that has black mold in it, or this or that doesn't work, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Lee, what will your reporting cover in the future in this area?
Well, I think, you know, we were just talking prior to the show that there's a lot of activity in Des Moines behind the scenes working. There's some redrafting of the city's zoning ordinances that are, and there'll be some changes, I think, too, coming to inspections of private rental homes. That'll be interesting. There's some reshaping of the neighborhood plans across Des Moines in different neighborhoods. What's sort of unanswered out there is whether the suburbs, West Des Moines, Clive, you know, our Urbandale, are we going to start to see more plans for affordable housing? I think only one tax credit low-income project was approved last year in Des Moines, and it's pretty sparse. Mm-hmm. So
what has to happen to have more of those tax credits approved?
Well, this is Eric. I think that the tax credit program in Iowa is pretty complicated and has a lot of moving parts. But I think that the IFA, the Iowa Finance Authority, has a lot of discretion in shaping how that program is scored and which projects are awarded. And so from an advocacy standpoint, it will certainly be talking to them about what's needed in the metro area as a whole, and then adapting their scoring to making sure that those projects get built.
Okay, thank you very much. Eric Burmeister, Executive Director, Lauren Johnson, Policy and Communications Coordinator at the Polk County Housing Trust Fund. Eric and Lauren, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
And Lee Rood, thank you for your excellent reporting. Reader's Watchdog columnist at the Register, investigative reporter, penning a recent column that we keyed on here, exploring affordable housing in Des Moines. Lee, thank you so much.
Thank you, too.
River to River is produced by Caitlin Harrop, Emily Woodbury, and Lindsay Moon. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Tomorrow, we're going to meet two of 28 writers from 27 countries. Two writers, one from Macedonia and one from Ukraine. I hope you'll tune in tomorrow for our News Buzz edition. I'm Ben Kiefer.